Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Keyshawn comes up with it. Looking for Whitmore. Kick out. Johnson, pure three in the corner. Whitmore.
Right back.
Over the tray again. Relocates.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You see why they drafted him.
And came into camp talking about being more of a reliable guard in that second unit.
Another corner three. One, two, three.
That's a good job. Trey Johnson in your first game. Chris Miller, Drew Gooden on the call last night. The Wizards didn't win the game, which is also good news. We want them to finish with one of the eight worst records in the NBA. I think that's pretty much a given. At one point in the first half, Milwaukee had made 12 threes. Some of the defensive situations weren't pretty, but really loved what Kyshawn, George, and Trey Johnson did last night. George was the guy last year that I actually really liked. Trey Johnson was, as most of you know, who care about the NBA and care about the NBA draft. That's who I wanted them to select at number six overall. And he looked the part. No one will question his ability to shoot it. You saw that at Texas. There were a couple of things that I'll nitpick about his performance. Not for long, I promise. But I will get to that shortly. We have a power-packed show today. We got a lot of people that are going to join us on the show today. We have Charch. We've got Denton coming up in this hour. We've got an NFL guest. We've got some Steve Suter film breakdown. We've got power rankings today. Lots going on a show during a week that is one of the busiest of the sports calendar. NFL, college football in full swing, the World Series getting ready to begin tomorrow night, and the NBA has now kicked off its season with a major blockbuster ugly story to talk about this morning. Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier arrested this morning. One in Miami, one in Oregon, all gambling related. We'll get to the details on this because there's still a lot that I have to soak in here on what Chauncey Billups in particular, a Hall of Fame player, okay, a player that's made $150 million in his lifetime as an NBA player and coach. But there's a lot to get to. The Terry Rozier thing had been bubbling up for a couple of years. We had the Michael Porter Jr. brother incident where he essentially got booted from the league. Gambling, man, betting on sports. It's fun, can also get dangerous. Good morning, everybody. Max is here with me. Let me get this out of the way. No smell test pick tonight. A lot of you thought for sure I was going to give out the Vikings. I'm not giving out the Vikings. The action's pretty split. Actually, if anything, the under looks right in this game. It's 45. There's a lot of overaction, but no official pick from me on the Thursday night game, which should be a good one. Chargers-Vikings. Kind of a big game for both teams. The Chargers sitting there at 4-3. You know, they started 3-0. They've lost three out of their last four. They have major offensive line issues. We saw that when Washington went to L.A. just 2 weeks ago. Remember that 2 weeks ago when Jaden was lights out after the first two drives? Kroski Merritt was going to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. The pass rush was dominant. Trey Amos starting to look like maybe the Defensive Rookie of the Year. Remember that? That was just 2 weeks ago. Relax. There are bad games. There are bad stretches in seasons. There are even bad seasons, especially when you have an S-load of injuries. But wait a few weeks. The NFL weather changes pretty quickly. But it should be a good game tonight. Carson Wentz is starting, correct? I think he is.
Yes, he is starting tonight.
Yeah, you know, that situation is an interesting situation. You can't obviously have an opinion on J.J. McCarthy at this point. He's only played two games. I mean, drafts in general, you got to just back off, you know, the evaluation after a year and some time. The thing you would say about McCarthy is availability is the best ability. And when he was available for those brief two games or two and a half games, he did not play well. He did not look the part, that's for sure. But long way to go there. Carson Wentz doesn't really look like the part either. The Chargers are banged up. That should be a decent... We've had some really entertaining Thursday night football games. Last week, the Joe Flacco win over Pittsburgh was phenomenal. The week before that was Giants over Eagles. We had walk-off, you know, kicks in back-to-back weeks previous to that. So maybe we'll get another really good Thursday night game to kick off, believe it or not, week 8 already in the NFL. Week 8. Insane that we are here already approaching the halfway mark of the NFL season with the college season, and we'll talk to Denton about this as we preview the upcoming weekend, now into the second half of its season. So, NBA last night, before we get to this breaking story here this morning, Neil in Rockville, by the way, if you're listening and you want to call in to the hotline or just the regular line, I know that you have read through a lot of this stuff, so it would be interesting to get your thoughts on it. But real quickly, Wembanyama last night was probably the story of NBA night number two. Wembanyama is 7'5", has a wingspan from here, you know, from downtown D.C. to Frederick, and he just looks different than any player we've seen in the league in a long time. I think I felt that way about Giannis for several years. He dwarfs Giannis. If you watched any of the game last night, it was interesting to watch Anthony Davis try to guard him. Anthony Davis looked like a JV player next to Wembanyama, size-wise. Wembanyama is just so tall and so long, and then on top of that, so ridiculously skilled. It's scary how skilled he is for somebody that tall. An excellent ball handler. Faces, can go by you with the dribble, can create off the dribble, can shoot the three. He can do it, you know, stepping back. He can do it spotting up. He's obviously around the basket, a dunk machine, a lob machine. He is a defensive force. 40 points, 15 rebounds, 3 block shots in 30 minutes last night. 30 minutes of action. They destroyed Dallas in the opener, 125-92. He's really got and there's a chance here, and I think most of you who follow the NBA realize this. Wembanyama is going to change the game in a lot of ways. We've never seen somebody this tall, this skilled. And you know, when I watch him, for you old school guys, I think of Ralph Sampson and the way he looked when he was such an outlier, because at 7'4", Ralph could put the ball on the floor. Ralph could face the basket and shoot. Ralph wanted to be a point guard. He fancied himself to be a point guard, even though he was a 7'4 center. And when he got to the NBA and he was side by side with Hakeem Olajuwon, he was the forward. He was not the center. Now, back then, you're not shooting threes. I think Ralph could have shot a lot of threes. He had a great stroke. He could put the ball on the floor. Not at the same level as Wembanyama, though. I think Ralph always felt like he was a better ball handler than he was. And look, the NBA with free flowing, no hand check, etc. It's a different game, obviously, than it was back then. But there is, like, every time I watch Wembanyama, I'm like, that's what I kind of thought about Ralph back in those days. Ralph Sampson is one of the greatest college basketball players ever, of all time. I mean, the only thing that, you know, keeps him from being consistently in that conversation for everybody is the fact that he didn't win a national championship. You know, he got to a Final Four, but didn't win a national championship. And the expectation, especially his senior year, was they were going to win the whole thing. They were a one seed. NC State knocked them off, the Valvano team, in the Elite Eight in Atlanta. And that sent Ralph home for good. Obviously, he ended up having a really solid NBA career, but never turned into what we thought he could turn into. But Wembanyama, man, whew. The San Antonio Spurs and that organization, God, they got the number one pick. Imagine if Wembanyama was here in Washington, how this organization would be viewed, not only nationally, but, you know, not only locally, but nationally. It would be a lot more exciting than what we're going through right now. On the Wizards game, so I really like George. I liked George last year. I think out of all of the guys that have been drafted previous to this year, you know, we had Chase Hughes on the show, and Chase had, you know, George there as well. I love George. I love everything about him. He's versatile. He has a bit of a killer instinct in him as a scorer, as a shooter. He can score. He can shoot. He can defend. He can facilitate. 21 last night. Where's the box score? 21, 4 assists, 9 rebounds. He was 7 of 15 from the floor, 3 for 6 from behind the arc. Missed 4 free throws. Yeah, I did notice that. 21 points. Good game for him. I think he's the guy. I don't see him as like transcendent top five, but I definitely see him potentially as an all-star. And I think he's much more valuable, honestly, than Bilal Coulibaly, you know, kind of in that spot. And I like Coulibaly, especially on the defensive end. And then Trey Johnson, who I loved coming out, as most of you know, I wanted them really desperately at number 6 to pick him if he was still on the board. What you saw at Texas is what you saw last night. The dude can just flat out shoot it, but he's more than just a shooter. Here's the thing that just in his first game for me, and I have, you know, a bit of Bradley Beal flashback when it comes to this. He's just a little bit loose at times with the handle, you know? How many turnovers did he end up with last night? 4 turnovers last night in his first game in 26 minutes. I love it. I really like him. And this is his first game. 16 points, 5 of 11 from the floor, 4 for 8 from behind the arc. And you heard three or – did you play all 4 of them or just 3 of them coming
in? Just 3.
In?
We just had 3.
Yeah. The one thing, you know, especially with young players like him, you can't end up – you got to protect the basketball. You know, you can't waste possessions with not seeing – you know, opposite passing lanes with having too loose of a handle. It was always my criticism of Beal more than anything else. Just as a ball handler, even coming out of Florida, he was just a bit too loose with it, and he turned the ball over a lot because of it, and it was always his problem in the NBA. But the long way to go, really good first night for him. 16 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block shot in 26 minutes. By the way, he only played for like, because I watched the whole game start to finish. I think I'm going to end up really liking Will Riley, the first round pick out of Illinois. He's not going to get a lot of time right now. Eventually, he will. There's something about the way he competes that I like. I don't even know how many minutes he played. It was not a lot. 4 minutes last night. He had a steal, he had an assist, he had a rebound, and he had a made bucket in 4 minutes. I think we're going to end up liking Will Riley for sure. But yeah, there you go. I mean, 133-120, Giannis 37 points. They made 18 of 44 from behind the arc, but it's seemingly they made all of them in the first half. It seemed like it. Wizards actually made a bit of a run. They had it to 7. I never thought in watching it that Milwaukee wouldn't be able to turn on hit the gas again and extend the lead. And it was never really a game that was truly in doubt. But some young players that are definitely worth the watch. They play tomorrow night in Dallas. And the Dallas coming off last night's absolute, annihilation loss to the Spurs and Wembanyama. So, look, this story that's breaking this morning, we got to get to it, and I will in the next segment. Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier arrested by the FBI this morning. Chauncey Billups is the head coach. This is a head coach. This is not a player. This is a head coach on night two in the NBA. It's not good. More on that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
So a pretty big story breaking this morning. Chauncey Billups, NBA Hall of Famer, head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, along with Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier, arrested this morning as a part of a pair of investigations related to illegal gambling. Rozier was arrested at a hotel in Orlando, Florida. The Heat lost their season opener last night to Orlando. He did not play due to a coach's decision. Meantime, Chauncey Billups arrested in Oregon after, by the way, he coached last night, the Trailblazers opener. They lost to Minnesota 118-114. Anthony Edwards, by the way, 41 in the opener. Billups was arrested as part of a separate but related illegal gambling case linked to an illegal poker operation tied to the mafia, according to ABC News. By the way, also, remember Damon Jones, the corner three shooter on some of the LeBron teams in Cleveland? He's a Cavs, former Cavs assistant coach as well. He was arrested on charges that he provided inside information about NBA games to co-defendants who used it to place sports bets, also according to ABC News. FBI cracking down on illegal stuff. And all of it, by the way, is sponsored by BetMGM. The NBA will be running those spots during their games, or whatever spots they use, DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever it is. I heard this story this morning coming in, and then I'm reading through it, and there's a lot of questions that I have. I know that the FBI is holding a news conference currently to explain those, but we have asked our legal correspondent and contributor to this program, Neil in Rockville, to jump on with us, because you texted me. You were the one that let me know this was going on this morning. So what do we have here? Because my first reaction was, well, you don't get arrested unless you're betting on your own team or point shaving. You know, you get booted from the league for betting because you're not allowed to, but you don't get arrested. Now we find out this is tied to an illegal poker operation, which was mafia influenced. What do you know, and what do you think this is all about?
Well, interestingly, and I'm still picking through the pieces, I think the Damon Jones matter, I think he was like just cleared of some of an internal NBA investigation. There were some internal NBA investigations, I think, tied to some of this stuff just recently, and I'm still trying to pull some information about that. So there really are two sort of separate matters. It's the Damon Jones and Rossier directly having to do with NBA games, and then the Billups is the poker. But I think they're all tied to what I've been watching the press conference. I mean, they're identifying Los Costa Nostra as the you know, the part of the mafia, the old fashioned mafia,
really?
who's tied to this, particularly with the Billups and the Rozier. And it sounds like the direct NBA stuff had to do with prop bets and, background information about players. And then there were also seemingly some threats against other players because of debts, some other gambling debts. So, you know, those are all direct NBA related, possibly shavings, information, insider stuff. And then there's the Billups, which is related to an illegal poker situation, which also is was run by the mafia. And
but you're saying old style Italian mafia,
the La Cosa Nostra. I mean, that's we're talking. You know, in some ways, if you go back to
Henry Hill, Boston College,
exactly. I mean, that's that type of stuff, and so. You know, a lot of times, you know, nowadays it's, you know, a lot of some of the other types of mafia, Russian mafia, Ukraine, you know, all these different types of mafia. But this is seemingly Italian mafia as what's coming out of the words of the FBI press conference right now. And the Billups one, you know, and Tommy, who, you know, has so much interrelated investigative reporting with the mafia, including taking the list of mafia people.
Lavero did that. Yeah, he took a seating chart from a secret mafia get together in the hills of Pennsylvania many years ago. He went in and stole the seating chart so he could write about the people who were at that meeting. It's a true story.
But the interesting thing is, you know, for the Billups one, particularly with, you know, legal poker, that creates, you know, huge problems because, as we all know, one of the whole issues with, you know, illegal versus legal gambling is, sure, Billups might not have been providing any information, or he might not have been betting on games or taking any direct action, but when you're dealing with illegal poker games run by the mob, if you start getting down, you know, you got to figure out some way to pay off your debts. And you know, if you don't have the money, the one
it's a Molly's game situation.
Yeah, I mean, you're potentially giving information about, or even not just information. You know, maybe you're holding back some people. You know, in certain games, or you're holding the points down, or something like that, where you know you're paying off your debts. Because I don't understand why someone would participate in an illegal poker ring run by the mafia, specifically because now today we have public, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, wouldn't the reason be what we saw before we had legal, you know, online poker? And obviously we have legal poker in Vegas and in other places and in lots of other casinos where gambling's legal now. But, you know, it's the stake, the super high stakes games with some of the super high rollers. Those are always illegal, especially if you take a rake, right?
Sure. Oh, certainly. And if they're, and, you know, and depending, now we find out who's running some of those. And, you know, if you get down on those, it's like, you know, you gotta pay the VIG somehow, and you gotta pay your, you know, if, how, you know, if you're down, you gotta give them information if you don't have the money. And that's definitely what leads to the problems in this investigation. And the other one, the other one is like direct information about prop bets. It's about all the, you know,
it's like the, it's and Michael threat. Porter Jr.'s brother just got booted from the league for some of that. Prop bets are the easiest to, you know, to tank on, you know, and, right. and the easiest to, you know, essentially tell, you know, whatever syndicate you have, or maybe it's just a group of friends, hey, I'm going low tonight, you know, I'm going low on the personal, you know, point total.
And one of the things is, you know, it's funny because you've been talking about gambling forever and ever, and it's, you know, and a lot of times it's the legal gambling that can sometimes hear about, you know, the illegal gambling, which can sometimes they'll call the attention to the FBI.
Of course.
Because they can see the, you know, or, you know, there's also, you know, gambling situations, you know, out of the country, and, you know, they can, you know, they'll let them know, because it messes up the legal gambling more than it, you know, helps, you know, the illegal gambling. So they're more than happy to jump on that stuff and provide information to the authorities.
No, Tommy and I recorded something together early this morning, and I said to him, remember when this all started to percolate, legal sports betting, and all of the leagues thought that the big home run was going to be from an integrity fee that the legal sports books would pay, the NBA, the NFL, you know, Major League Baseball, the NHL. And I said, no, you got that wrong. It's the opposite. The sports books are the ones that will be able to keep the integrity of the game. They're the ones, even before sports betting became legal, were the ones that would identify suspicious betting on games and would inform the leagues. The leagues don't have that information. They Right. can't keep the integrity of the game with legal betting. It's the sports books that need to do that and have the means of monitoring that. And by the way, they're in... You know, they have a mutual interest. The sports books don't want to be taken to the cleaners by some sort of an illegal operation, which is why they've always been able to identify suspicious, you know, betting, behaviors and inform leagues on that. We've seen that. Oh, how do you think the BC thing came crashing down, or the Tulane thing came crashing down, or the Arizona State thing came crashing down? It was because, you know, at that time, legal sports books in Vegas let... You know, the Pac-12 know, or let the Big East know at the time, or whatever it was.
Sure.
So back to, just back to Chauncey Billups. So if this is, remember Gilbert Arenas got arrested and then released, and he kind of, you know, was excited saying, I told you I didn't have anything to do with it, but they were using a house that Arenas owned, I guess. Is this anyway tied to that, do you think?
No, I don't think it's that kind of stuff. That sounded like it was sort of more, you know, secondary. That was never.
Somebody was using a house
like
that Gilbert Arenas owned for illegal poker games.
Yeah, they run some illegal poker games, but that's like when, you know, people were running house games. It's still illegal to run house games.
What do you think Billups
like
did?
I think he might have just been playing in illegal poker games. I mean, and he might have been running up some large amounts. I mean, you know, look at the Shohei Ohtani situation with his manager and trainer. When people start getting into, you know, debt with you know, that type of people, you gotta pay off your debts. And, you know, if Billups could say, you know, if Billups could move one or two points, or, you know, keep some people out and some stuff like that, it's, you know, he can provide a lot of information and pay off a lot of debts with that stuff. It's, you know, and it's also, you know, they did do the arrests, and, you know, sometimes they do arrests, sometimes they do, like, you know, let people know that they're, you know, there's a warrant out for their arrest, and, you know, you can come and turn yourself in and stuff like that. But, you know, they decided that they wanted to go out there and make, you know, old fashioned arrests, bring them in, hold them, and they'll present him for, you know, arraignments and, you know, consider bond and all that kind of stuff. I presume Billups is out, you know, forever. I mean, that's something that's going to just, you know, we're not going to see him again. And then the other
certainly not going to see him until this gets resolved. By the way, here's the details of the Gilbert Arenas arrest back in late July this past summer. Gilbert Arenas arrested in connection with a federal indictment that alleges that the former NBA star hosted illegal high-stakes poker games at his mansion in Encino, California. You know, he was officially charged with one count of conspiracy to operate an illegal gambling business, one count of operating an illegal gambling business, and one count of making false statements to federal investigators. He was eventually released, and, you know, the charges were dropped. And to me, it would be interesting if Gilbert Arenas, in exchange for having the charges dropped, started dropping some names.
That's a lot of times, particularly if you're running the house, you know,
yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a lot of times the people at the top know all the people below, and, you know, that's the way it could have played out.
Yeah. Well, this is a developing situation, and I know I took you out of watching the FBI press conference. Is Kash Patel actually running the press conference?
Well, Kash is not. No, he's not the one at the podium. The guy at the podium is the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, Joseph Nocella. However,
yeah.
Kash is right there at his right with his little FBI badge, and he's there.
Not great news for the NBA here on night two of the NBA. The other thing is that
Coached last night. Yeah.
He coached last night in their opener against Minnesota. And
did
then woke up this morning in cuffs.
Did they win?
No, they lost. 118-114. I wonder if he knew.
Makes it interesting, isn't it?
It's you know, we talk a lot about gambling on this show. I have for years now. And you know, when the whole discussion about legalization started, and you know, you knew that there was going to be so much of this to come, but the integrity of the games, and I know that the Billups thing has nothing to do with games, it would appear, but the integrity of the games is the most important thing for these leagues. You know, taking the advertising money from legal sports books is secondary to ensuring that these games have integrity. Without that, you've got professional wrestling, and it would never matter as much as it does now.
But the Billups thing could be exactly about the integrity of the game, because if he was having to, you know, pay off debts.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. People say, people say all the time, well, who cares if they end up betting on other sports or on other teams? Well, when you get into it and you get deep into it and you owe somebody a lot of money, the easiest way out of that debt, if you're a coach or a player, is to say, hey, tomorrow night, you know, we're getting three, we're gonna get smoked.
Hey, Pete Rose never bet on his team to lose.
Yeah,
but
of course,
you know,
look, I got offered to drive a car to St. Louis to get out of a debt way back in the day, in college. I've told you that story. I've told everybody that story. My buddy and I got into it with, you know, the book. This was, by the way, a Philadelphia bookmaker. We were down,
money. Not our local high school bookmaker in Rockville.
No, it was not, you know, handing out, you know, parlay sheets to your friends. This was, you know, real money when we were in college. And the book said, look, if you guys want to clean the slate, just drive this car and drop this car off in St. Louis. And my buddy wanted to do it, and I said, are you out of your mind? We're in. If we drive, what do you think's in the trunk of that car? We came up with the money. That was maturity stepping in to keep us from getting indoctrinated into what would have been a terrible life, more likely than not, and maybe a short one. All right, thanks for doing this.
You got it, man. Take care.
All right. Up next, Denton will join us. We'll talk college football, and we'll get Denton's best bets for the weekend. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the team980.com.
All right. Happy Thursday, everybody. Here's what's happening. It is October 23rd, and the big story of the morning, the FBI has announced a number of arrests that have been made in relation to illegal sports gambling and poker operations allegedly tied to the Italian mafia. Included among the 34 defendants arrested this morning, Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups and former Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier. Looking further into the NBA, the Wizards, they took on the Bucks last night in Chris Middleton's first game back in Milwaukee since being traded last season. The former Bucks forward led the Wizards in scoring with 23 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists, but the defense for the Wizards largely came up short early with 72 points allowed in the first half. The Wizards fall 133-120. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Den's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Pick up your book bags, grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Hey, give me my theme music.
This from a friend of mine. He just sent me a link to this story. Denton's joining us right now, but I just want to read from it off of the conversation about Chauncey Billups. Yesterday, the NCAA approved a rule change that will allow athletes and athletic department staff members to bet on professional sports. The rule goes into effect on November 1st. So college athletes were not allowed to bet legally or illegally, and now they are allowed to bet on professional sports. Again, like Neil and I talked about, this is the part where if you're new to this and you don't follow this, it doesn't matter what you bet on. If you're an athlete or a coach, you could bet on, you know, crew. If you get in deep with the book and you owe, you know, an illegal bookmaker a lot of money, the way out sometimes is to then take your position in your sport and make something happen. Yeah, the over-under on my point total tonight is 16.5. I'm going way under. So we'll clear the tab that I owe you after I go, you know, 3-for-12 from the floor and score 7 points. I think that's a bad idea, man. Bad idea. But the other thing, too, and I talked about this yesterday, Denton, how about the fact that G League players are now allowed to go back to college and play? Have you seen that?
Yes.
The G League NBA players are allowed to go back and play in college.
I saw a story on that and I thought it was fake. I was like,
it's not fake.
How are we getting back to that point? Also, I love the irony of the fact that less than 24 hours ago, the NCAA approved that rule. And then this morning, Rozier gets hit, Chauncey Billups gets hit. And I have heard that there's a potential of Malik Beasley getting re-hit. The NBA cleared him, but he might be part of this in some capacity as well. And I will guarantee you this, they are not the only ones. This is far more prevalent in the NBA than I think most people realize. It's a little bit more difficult in the NFL, but in the NBA with props, you're in such control of whatever your particular number is that it's going to be way more than just these three guys that are in on this.
Right. All right, let's talk some college football. I actually want to start with Maryland. You know, Denton hosts a college football show on SiriusXM, has for the last few years, and Denton joins us every Thursday in this spot to talk college football. You know, the Terps have lost three heartbreakers in a row. They blew a 20-0 lead, lost to Washington. They had the lead, a 10-point lead over Nebraska in the second half, lost to them, and had a 7-point lead against UCLA. Or had a lead, I'm sorry, 10-7 in the fourth quarter against UCLA and lost to them. I don't know if you've watched them much, but I've gotten into it with a bunch of Maryland fans and Maryland people on Malik Washington, their young quarterback, and their offensive coordinator, Pep Hamilton, who, by the way, was the OC at Stanford for Andrew Luck. Then Andrew Luck basically took him with him into the NFL to be the offensive coordinator at Indianapolis in Luck's early years. Have you watched much of Maryland? I'm assuming not. Why would you?
Not nearly as much as you have, but I have kept up with Malik Washington in particular. He is interesting to me.
So I'm going to hit you with something now that I don't think a lot of people know. Maryland and Malik Washington. Malik Washington has been sacked two times in seven games. Mm-hmm. The fewest of any quarterback in the Big Ten other than Julian. Oh, no, more than any quarterback in the Big Ten, including Julian Sain, who's been sacked three times, the quarterback of Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Top three in the country in the fewest times sacked. If you've watched Maryland and you see they cannot run the ball, they do not have an offensive line where they can run the ball. And by the way, they're not much better in pass protection, to be honest with you. For that to be a number with a freshman quarterback is insane and can only be a result. Well, for the most part, more likely than not, can only be about an offensive coordinator who recognizes their deficiencies, recognizes he's got a freshman quarterback, and is designed and play called around that. That's an amazing number to not be sacked as a freshman quarterback with no running game and not a great ability to protect the passer. That's why I think Pep Hamilton's done a good job with him. Malik Washington's problem is he's inaccurate. Yeah. Something we talked about very early on. He is wildly inaccurate at times. He is athletic. He's big. He's, you know, I think he sees it. He's under center. Pep's doing a lot with play action to try to keep the pass rush at bay. They're using passes, short passes, as part of the run game. But his inaccuracy is more responsible for losing three in a row than I think Pep Hamilton's play calling is. That's all. I'll just say that.
I agree with
He's
that.
A 59% passer. If he were a 63% passer, Maryland, instead of being 4-3, would be 5-2 or 6-1 right now.
They definitely wouldn't be in the position to where you are now circling Michigan State and Rutgers' must wins to get into a bowl game.
Yeah,
so they wouldn't be win hunting the way that they are now. It is pretty insane to think that they can execute on that level to where he's not getting sacked, but then they're not winning games either. And it is the inaccuracy. And to be fair to Malik Washington, there are not a lot of quarterbacks that as a freshman come in and immediately are super duper accurate. It's just very, very rare.
Also, to be fair, he's got a major drop problem with his receivers. They
right.
drop a lot. I think they lead the Big Ten, or they're top two or three in the Big Ten in drop passes. So that's been an issue as well. But if you watch him, Denton, there's definitely some flaws, and they're going to have to fix those. And Pep Hamilton is good at doing that. I think he is, you know, this is a process with a true freshman starting at quarterback in the Big Ten, and it's going to take some time. But he, you know, he'll try to drill it through a brick wall from 3 feet away. I mean, yeah. He's not a great touch thrower at this point.
Which, again, is a freshman, that'd be stunning if he was. Because I can think of one freshman that came in and was really, really good, and that was Trevor Lawrence. But he even wasn't immediately really good, because if you remember, it was him and Kelly Bryant, and Dabo had to decide, and eventually benched Kelly Bryant like 4 or 5 games into the season to then elevate Trevor Lawrence. But that Clemson team was talented. I mean, that was one of the best teams that we'd ever seen prior to the next year, when LSU became one of the best teams we'd ever seen.
I would say this, that, and I'm referencing Mike Shanahan when I say this. Mike Shanahan told me once, accuracy is something that you can work on and you can improve. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have it naturally, you'll never be elite at it. He said the best accuracy is incredibly important. And he's like, if you don't have it naturally, you can improve and you can become good, but you'll never be an elite accurate passer. It is there's a natural part of it that is sort of innate as a thrower. And I don't think Malik has that. Now, again, of course it can improve and it can get better, and he will, you know, apparently he's smart and he's got a great work ethic. I just, the Maryland people that are killing Pep Hamilton, I think are missing a part of this. I'm not saying that there haven't been some frustrating moments for me either in watching them, because they are good defensively, Denton. They're really good on defense. And they're good enough defensively to be, you know, if they were just a little bit, you know, a little bit better offensively, an 8-9 win team this year, legitimately. And by the way, their defense is super young and now it's super injured. But yeah, it's been frustrating to watch. And look, this is not, you know, I'm not extending this to Loxley. I still think, as I've said for many years, they're too undisciplined. They commit too many penalties to be an upper tier team. It's just, it's been his hallmark. Recruiting outstanding players, future NFL players, but a team that typically is among the top two or three teams in the Big Ten in penalties, one of the top, you know, teams in the country when it comes to penalties. And it's that lack of discipline that has been an absolute given with his team since he arrived at Maryland, and it's been, you know, one of those hurdles that they have to clear to ever become, you know, better than what they've been, and in the Big Ten games anyway. I'm consuming this segment with Maryland talk. I don't want to do that with you. Can you stick around for another segment after we're done with this one?
Yeah, I can. But let me stay on the Maryland thing then.
Yes,
while we're
please.
Here. What's their connection to private equity? Because that's
the Big Ten thing?
Yeah, because that's the future of the Big Ten. And, like, you have a quarterback that I think has the potential to be the best quarterback they've had under Loxley. I thought, you know, Talia was good, but I do think the ceiling from Malik Washington is higher. Now with private equity,
I agree with
everybody
that.
Has money. Can you keep him? Because that's been one of their biggest struggles, is that Lox does a really good job recruiting players, and then they leave because everyone else can offer them money. Like, it has to be a gut punch for you and other Maryland fans to look at Roman Hemby having immense amount of success elsewhere when you should have kept him, but you didn't have the financial resources to do so. And now, like, Indiana showcased when they signed Cignetti that everyone has money now in the Big Ten. So I hope that Maryland can find money to keep guys like Malik Washington around. It would be another just gut punch to develop him to a point and then have somebody else pluck him, like potentially an Ohio State, Penn State, whoever, pluck him, and then they develop him to the point where he's now reaching the talent that we saw he could, and he just didn't do it at your program.
Yeah. You know, the story that you mentioned, I haven't talked about it on the air. I have been following it to a certain degree, and that is the Big Ten potentially taking a massive private equity deal, like an investment of like $7 billion.
Yeah.
Something like that. Or, I'm sorry, $2
billion. $2 billion over 10 years.
$2 billion. No, it would be $2 billion $2 billion for 10% of the league. Anyway, long story short, that doesn't change the salary cap. You know, the salary cap is an NCAA thing where you've got a $20.5 million salary cap to spread out among the athletic department. But that gets into what you would have then potentially for NIL deals. But the NIL, you know, right now in terms of the enforcement of the new rules is still a TBD,
it's,
you know, situation.
So all over the place. But the nice thing about the equity would then be for Maryland, all right, how can we improve what we have going on here as a program?
Yeah.
How can our facilities upgrade? Because
they're getting $20.5 million, of which, you know, 80% of it's going to men's football.
Right.
And then the differences between a Maryland and Ohio State is what Ohio State has for NIL.
Right. And their NIL is just absolutely insane. It's like they report on a certain number, but I know that number is a little bit larger than what is reported on.
Right. By the way, the Michigan linebacker, you know, Barham, that was at Maryland too, losing him, that dude looks to me like a first-round
Sunday player.
Prospect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Maryland has done a good job recruiting guys that are going to play on Sundays.
Oh,
they just don't do a great job of keeping them around.
Let me just mention something. This is probably, I don't think I'm speaking out of school here. Lox, for sure, has been one of the best recruiters you know, considering what Maryland is, which is a non, you know, a non-big-time football school. It's in the Big Ten, but it's one of the, you know, true basketball-first schools, always has been that. He is clearly an unbelievable communicator and salesman. The recruiting's incredible. The market to recruit in, the DMV, is great. But I also heard that when he – we read this story, remember, last February, that he had interviewed for the Jets head coaching job.
Yes.
Remember, Denton, we were doing the show, and we're like, really?
Yeah, they Loxley were, turning all stones, the Jets were.
I heard that he was the most impressive of anybody interviewed by the Jets. They hired Aaron Glenn. It would be hard to hire Mike Loxley with the record that he has, you know, and justify that hire. But I have heard that he was the most impressive interview that anybody of anybody that the Jets interviewed. And it doesn't surprise me. He is he's a high quality person, and he is a phenomenal communicator and leader. I just, you know, from a discipline standpoint on the field, that's been Maryland's, you know, bugaboo. I mean, the penalties have just, you know, hurt them time in and time out in some of the games that they've had chances to win in the Big Ten, because his overall Big Ten record is terrible.
Yeah. It has to be, for you, I'd imagine, pretty tough to deal with discipline issues and then receivers dropping things on Saturdays and on Sundays, because both teams have that issue in this market.
Yes. They both do. He's 17-43 in the Big Ten. How many Big Ten coaches would survive 6-7 years of 17-43? And by the way, the overall record, 37-44 at Maryland.
Right. That is not many. I'm Googling Greg Schiano's record right now, because I think he'd probably be the only other person that could survive.
Greg Schiano
like
had a year in which they were top 10 at Rutgers. Remember that?
Yeah, that was years ago, but yes.
It was.
I mean, that was almost 20 years ago, which is crazy to say.
Is it 20 years ago?
Yeah, it was.
No.
Yeah.
Maryland went in and beat Rutgers. They were in the top 10, and they beat them, and it was like, are you kidding me? We're playing Rutgers in a top 10 matchup. And they weren't in the league. They weren't sharing a league at that point. It was an ACC versus Big East game. All right, let's talk other college football with Denton. We'll do that after these words from a few of our sponsors. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. And don't forget, you can watch us on our YouTube page. Just open up the app, the Odyssey app, type in Team 980 and hit subscribe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.